The scripture reading for today is 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. But we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by what we said or what we wrote. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word, the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. To start, I just want to say thank you for letting me have the week off last week. I was in Central Illinois to see my oldest daughter get married. It was successful. I will say that I questioned some of the decisions that were made because it was a wedding in November in Central Illinois outside. But I didn't plan it, and it was beautiful, and the trees were amazing, and you know, that shivering just makes you feel like you're excited. So it's good. It was a good time. Well, we've all experienced this, I know, because of what's happened in our lives in the past decade. That moment when the phone buzzes, and you look at the phone, and there's an alert there. Somebody tagged you in a Facebook story. You go to the Facebook story, and there's a news article from a seemingly credible source. Something is going horribly wrong. And we need to react. We need to respond. And suddenly, the gas stations are full. The shelves are empty. You have more toilet paper in your house than you'll ever know what to do with. Because we responded to this cry, this alarm, for whatever it might be. And then, it turns out the story was false. But the damage is already done. You now never need to shop for toilet paper again. You have gas cans full of gas in your garage, which isn't the safest place for it to be. Panic spreads faster than truth. We need to recognize that. We live in an age of alerts and conspiracies and breaking news that rarely breaks anything except for our sense of peace. Even the church gets swept up with questions of, is this it? Is this the end? Are we ready? Did we miss something? That's the same anxiety that Paul was addressing to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians. Rumors said, the day of the Lord has already come. And the church was panicked. Imagine the fear. Christ came back and left us behind. See, we have had 2,000 years of experience of waiting for our Savior to come back. This is a first century church. They were expecting him any day, and not too many days had passed. So what does Paul do? Well, what he doesn't do is he doesn't write them a prophecy chart. He doesn't give them a detailed step-by-step, week-by-week plan of how the end is going to come. Instead, what he does is he writes them a pastoral letter. And his first command is not calculate the end of days, but rather calm down. This passage in chapter 2 is bookmarked by two commands. The first one in verse 2 is don't be shaken. And then the second one in verse 15 is stand firm and hold fast. Between those two bookends, Paul shows the church and us how to live unshaken in a shaking world. So here's the question the text is going to answer for us this morning. How can we stay grounded and grateful when fear and falsehood surrounds us. Paul's answer to us comes in four moves. He's going to tell us to tune out the panic, to remember what's real, to thank your way to stability, and then finally, to pray your way into purpose. So let's look at the text, and I'm going to read a little bit more than what Carissa read for us this morning. So if you have your Bibles handy, I'm going to be on page 1770. That never seems to work. I'm going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at these first two verses. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily upset or troubled, either by a prophecy or by a message or by a letter supposedly from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. So here's the problem. Something has happened. Some teacher in their area, somebody sent out a Facebook alert to the church in Thessalonica saying, we missed it. Jesus came back and you didn't see it and now you're left behind. And he's saying, don't be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. The word there for easily upset is a seismic word. It has to do with the earth shifting under your feet. What Paul is doing for us is he's describing a community that's trembling under a false teaching. They're experiencing a spiritual earthquake. Their emotional ground is moving. That the problem that we have in Thessalonica is not a problem of intellectual curiosity. Oh, what's going to happen? What happens next? What we have is a satanic deception that is designed to unsettle the church. Verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day, talking about the day of the Lord, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship so that he sits in God's temple, proclaiming that he himself is God. So I've heard this text preached a handful of times. And the way that I have heard it preached is, all right, let's talk about the man of lawlessness. Let's talk about who that might be. Let's talk about the apostasy that comes and what it means that this man of lawlessness is sitting in the temple. That is not the sermon this morning. Because that sermon completely misses Paul's point. Paul does not give us details about the day of apostasy. He doesn't give us details about the man of lawlessness because the point is who we are in Christ. The point is that the church should be unshaken by fear because we already know who wins the battle. We already know the outcome of the war. To get caught up in the details of something that the text does not tell us is a dangerous pursuit. And we've all seen it. It seems like every year there's a new scholar who has studied the text and studied the times and has figured out, okay, on April 23rd, 2024, the end is going to come. I don't know if y'all noticed, but April 23rd of 2004 happened. And here we are. It happened earlier this year. There was a TikTok craze, and it was a Tuesday. I don't remember what specific Tuesday it was, but I think it was a Tuesday in September. And the rapture was going to occur on that Tuesday in September. And I'm pretty sure it did not happen. The point of this text is not for us to calculate and figure out the end times. The point of this text is to ground ourselves in the truth of Scripture and who we are. Paul says, do not let anyone deceive you in any way. If I were to translate that into our context and our world, do not let your feed disciple you. Don't let your news app, your social media, the constant influx of information that's coming down the electronic pipeline, don't let that be the thing that disciples you. Instead, let this be the text that disciples you. Let who we are as the church be the discipling force in your life, because the danger of being discipled every day by notifications, notations, and narrations of doom on our phone is that we lose sight of what is true. We lose sight of that thing in which we can ground our confidence. We can easily mistake anxiety for awareness. But the danger with these news feeds is they are not objective. The goal of these news feeds, if you were here on Wednesday night, we talked briefly about this week. The goal of these news feeds is not to inform you. It's to capture your attention so you stay there as long as possible. And how do they do that? They feed you the type of content that seems to engage you, which means over time, your feed is going to look very different than the feed of the person next to you. And it's going to have different information and different perspectives and different angles on what's happening. And we can start to be deceived. Do not let the feed disciple you. Paul's pastoral word for us from this text is to tune out the panic. Don't let the rumors rule you. Let the resurrection steady you. When panic gets loud, tune your heart to the promises of God. And that takes us to the second move. Remember what is real. Verse 5, don't you remember that when I was still with you, I used to tell you about this? So Paul is experiencing, and we see this here in Thessalonica, we saw it in Corinth, we see it in Colossae, we see it in all these cities where he ministered and shared the gospel, planted these churches, gave them the gospel, taught them what is true, and then moved on because that was his responsibility as an apostle, was to plant churches. And then he looks over his shoulder. Thessalonica, we talked about this. How could you forget so quickly who we are? How can you forget so quickly what grounds us? And so he writes these pastoral letters to calm them, remind them. Before the day of the Lord comes, Paul says certain things must happen. And I talked about not creating a timetable. Paul didn't do it. Neither should we. I read one commentary that said, Paul's goal is not to decode the apocalypse, but to calm the church. He's sweeping away confusion, not building a countdown. In verse 5 again, he says, do you not remember I told you these things? Memory. Memory is medicine for fear. Faith doesn't need new information. It needs renewed conviction. In other words, don't chase the newest or the next or the latest prediction, but rather cling to the last instruction. What have we been told that we can rely on rather than what are we hearing that is pulling us away? You already know the truth that matters. Christ came and Christ is coming again. Evil, present now, will not prevail. And the gospel that you received, the message of Jesus Christ, is still the word that saves. When fear starts to whisper in your ear new revelations, remember what's real. The victory of Jesus is settled. There's no question. And the timeline belongs to God, not some dude with a social media account. So looking, jumping ahead to verses 13 and following, thank your way into stability. Now, this sermon series that we're doing for these few weeks is a Thanksgiving series where we are looking at what it is to be thankful. And this is a time where we can look at what gratitude is and how grace gets traction. And that happens through stability, through thanksgiving. So let's look at those three verses here. But we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by what we said or what we wrote. After dealing with the rumor mill, Paul makes an incredible turn. We ought to always give thanks. For what? For you. For us. Beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits of salvation. The first word after the storm of speculation is thanks. Giving thanks. Gratitude is not just a decoration. Gratitude is a heart posture that is defense. It grounds us when the world trembles. Look at the things that we can be grateful for just from this short little passage we just read. Beloved by the Lord. That's your identity. That's who you are. No matter what is assailing you, no matter what pain you are going through, anxiety that you're experiencing, those things are real and need to be addressed. But foundationally, you are beloved by the Lord. That's who you are. That cannot, that will not change. Now, Steneric, if you knew my story, if you knew my past, you would not call me beloved by the Lord. Friend, I tell you, you cannot outsin the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You are beloved in the Lord. 2, chosen for salvation. That's your security. You are secure not because of something so temporary and fickle as our decisions. You are secure because God has chosen you. You are called through our gospel. That's your purpose. That's what we are called to be. We are called to be men and women who represent the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just with our words, but with our lives, with our actions. And then he says the final promise, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. I don't know if you noticed, but there are three moves that Paul makes when it comes to salvation in just these three short verses. So let's just jump into a systematic theology class for a second. What does it mean to say, I am saved? It's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. There are three different things that Paul talks about. And that's how we need to think about salvation. Salvation is a single move that occurs in three movements. That makes complete sense, doesn't it? You could say, I'm saved because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's called justification. You can say, I'm being saved by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's sanctification. One day, I will truly be saved. That's the work of glorification. So when you say, I'm saved, what you really mean to say is, I'm saved, I'm being saved, and one day I'm going to be saved. And here's the promise that we see in this text. Because you are saved by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, justification, you will continue to be saved. There's no if, and, or clause here. Because A, then B. You will be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And because you are being sanctified, No ifs, no therefores or ofs. Well, there is a therefore. Therefore, you will be glorified. Our salvation is sure. Not because of anything that we have done, not because of anything that you are, but because of everything that Jesus is and everything that he has done on our behalf. And so my encouragement to you is when fear shakes you, let thanksgiving anchor you. When the anxiety increases, let thanksgiving grow. Miriam Kamel observes that Paul's goal is to replace an earthquake of theological doubt with the steadying power of encouragement and gratitude. So then, Paul says, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions you were taught. For the Apostle Paul, thanksgiving is how the church stands firm. When we are in a posture of thanksgiving, it is difficult to maintain a position of cynicism and despair. When you are in the thick of it, and there appears to be no hope, but you discipline yourself to turn your mind, to turn your heart to that which you know is true, that cynicism and that despair loses its voice. So, church, thank your way into stability. When the headline says chaos, remind yourself of grace. When your heart says, I'm afraid, answer, I'm beloved. And then from this position of thanksgiving, the fifth move that Paul gives us in this text, pray your way into purpose. Turn that thanksgiving into action. Turn that thanksgiving into good words and into good works. Not because it saves you, but because it is the right response to a God who has blessed us so richly. Paul closes this section with a benediction. Let's look at it together. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. Notice the verbs. Comfort. Strengthen. This work of thanksgiving, this gratitude, isn't static. It propels us forward into speech and service. James Boyce notes that the true antidote to a rumor is not argument against it, but the mutual consolation of believers. Good words and good works that replace gossip and fear. So Paul prays that our hope would overflow into action. And I believe that this formula works. When the anxiety comes, the notifications are too many, and hope seems dim, turn to thanksgiving. Remind ourselves of what God has done so that we might see what God is doing and have confidence in what God will do. And from that place, we can stand. And we can stand in the midst of that anxiety, in the midst of that chaos, and speak words of grace and hope, and do good works to others to encourage them and to build them up. Pray until gratitude becomes generosity. Pray until thanksgiving overflows into witness. The unshaken life does not hide from the watching world. It serves and it speaks with steady joy. The Christian life is not lived in these pews. The Christian life is lived out there. We come in here to be equipped and to worship and to be encouraged so that we might go out there and with our mouth and with our lives Be Christ to a hurting and aching world that is captured by the newsfeed and has lost their hope because of the shutdown. We know that the plans of God cannot be shut down. Here's the heartbeat of this text. Everything I've been saying boiled down. Stand firm. Stay thankful. Don't be shaken. Stand firm. Stay thankful. Don't be shaken. And how can we do this? Well, let me give you a formula to shape your weekly rhythm. Four words: stand, hold, thank, and do. Stand, hold, thank, and do. Stand each morning. Before you turn to your screen, before you scroll, pray on that which you stand. Pray, Lord, steady my mind. Your day will come in your time. We can start with confidence. Then hold, something that you can do at the beginning of the day before you turn to your screens, before you scroll. Rehearse the gospel tradition. Paul mentioned the traditions that you have received. Later this morning, we're going to have an opportunity to together embrace the tradition of the church for 1,700 years. So this is the 1,700th anniversary of the Creed of Nicaea in 325 AD. And we're going to recite that creed together. Each morning, take a line from that creed, a fundamental statement of belief, and remind yourself of it, and hold fast to that. And then thank. Thank God by speaking three gospel truths aloud. It could be as simple as turning this text and say, beloved, chosen, called. Those things are true. Nothing can change them. And then in light of those gospel truths, do. Act on it. One good word. Be a drop of sincerity in the lake of narcissism that is our on-life existence. Speak truth and encouragement in a place that is toxic. And do one good work each day, not because we need to build karma points, not because we need to earn our way into salvation, but because we have the opportunity as Christ followers to be a blessing to others. How can you be like Christ and submit yourself to one another through service? How can we serve? Stand, hold, thank, and do. As a church, Trinity Fellowship Church of Richardson, Texas, let's become a non-anxious presence in a frightened culture. People are looking for pools of tranquility, a place where our reflex as a people is gratitude and not panic. Imagine that phone buzzing again. Another breaking news story, but this time you don't rush to share it without research. You don't turn to panic and run out of the house to do everything you need to do. Instead, you take a deep breath. You pray. You remember what's real. You whisper a word of thanks, reminding yourself, I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm called. Then to your family, to those who are watching around you, you can send a message of hope instead of a voice of fear. That's what it means to live unshaken. Paul doesn't want us all to become apocalypse experts. Well, actually, the man of lawlessness is best understood in light of... We are called to be lights for the gospel, not apocalypse experts. He wants anchored disciples. Men and women who stand firm, hold fast, give thanksgiving often, and serve faithfully until the King returns. So just to recap where we've been, Trinity Fellowship, tune out the panic. Remember what's real. Thank your way into stability, and then pray your way into purpose. And as you do, stand firm. Stay thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. This word that does tell us about the end, but it speaks of it in terms of hope, not fear. In terms of a certain eventuality, not a date we can research. Give us humility when we approach texts that do not give us the detail that we would wish, and give us the wisdom to learn from these texts the truths that are clearly there. May we be a people who stand firm, hold fast, give thanks. May our lives be oases of peace and tranquility in a world of chaos and confusion. May we embody the peace that passes all understanding as we minister to those in our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, our families, and yes, within the church. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that assurance that because of what he's done, we have been saved. You will continue saving us until one day we are finally and perfectly and inevitably saved. We pray this in the name of our hope, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.